On the air everywhere, this is New England Broadcasting. Yay.
Welcome to the Ron Van Dam Show. Hold on tight, things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
How are you today, my little nutsack?
Whatever.
Okay, fine, whatever. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show. Did you know that? I think you did. I think you just happened to trip across this thing, did you? Yeah, I think you knew what you were doing. You know what you're doing. Oh yeah, oh yeah, oh baby, oh baby, oh baby. Hey, good to be with you on this fine, lovely, beautiful, you choose the adjective, kind of day. What a wonderful day. Hey, in the Northeast here, we haven't had any rain in 17 years, it seems like. What a freaked up situation this is. Over the winter in the Northeast, we had all this precipitation. Why, it darn snowed just about every other day. Every Sunday, every Tuesday, and every Thursday, it snowed, and not just a little bit, a lot. We had, as you know, in the Northeast, unless you lived in a closet or something, we had 17,000 feet of snow. It's just now melting. It's true. It's true. It's been an awful winter, and I never thought that I'd see leaves and green again. But lo and behold, and behold and lo, there it is, and the snow is gone. Precipitation up the ass, which is kind of rectal irrigation, I suppose, would be that. But now it hasn't rained in almost 2 weeks now, and my mouth is dry. I'm finding very dry. It's awful, and it hasn't rained. And when it does rain, not that it will, well, it will actually in a couple of days. It's supposed to rain for about 2 seconds, and it'll spread a good 64th of an inch across the region. But it's drought here, and also in California. It hasn't rained in sunny California since the Blitzkrieg. It's been awful, terrible. California sucks, man. All these people, they can't wait out to get to California. Oh, the weather's beautiful. You know, it doesn't. It sucks. You people are in a drought. You have no freaking water. That's the lifeblood of your existence. You have to drink shit. You know, you can't exist on Svedka and Absolut all your life. You need water. You know what I'm saying? These people are there's just no rain there. And then when it does rain, the ground is so hard because it hasn't rained in since Moses parted the Red Sea, and even that's questionable to me. Then there's mudslides because the rain's got nowhere to go because the ground is so hard. Then it rains a lot, and then your house falls off the mountain. I mean, what the hell is that? And then any second, there could be a major earthquake that could break California off of the mainland, probably. Or, you go falling into a chasm of hell where the devil is waiting with you and you land on a pitchfork. I mean, I don't know what happens when the earth... We don't even know we got magma PI somewhere in the crust of the earth. Whenever I think of crust, I think of somebody's unwiped ass for some reason. I don't know what that is, or some type of terrible skin disease in the ass crack. I don't know why I think that when I think crust. I don't know what it is. I mean... Smegma up the ass, is that what that is to you? That's what it is to me. Best word in the English language, smegma. Look it up, it's wonderful. I've talked about it before. It's that little crud that forms between the foreskin and the penis. It's lovely. It's just lovely. Thank God they made a word for that thing, because it's beautiful. It's beautiful. I use it all. I put smegma on crackers for an appetizer. Anyway, California, just an awful, awful place to live. Any day you could die by mudslide, drought, you got no water, or the earth opens up and swallows you whole. I mean, what a lovely, lovely place to live. And of course, it's all highways, and you sit in traffic, and people riot, and there's prostitutes all over the place. Yeah, sounds like your hometown, doesn't it? I don't find California to be a wonderful place at all. If you have a lot of money, I guess you can afford the finer things in life. It's like New York. You got to have tons of money to live well in New York. If you don't have tons of money, then you're scratching for existence, and you're living in a slum. It's just like, there's no in between. There's no middle class. There's an upper class. There's a lower class. Middle, kind of. I got on a bus and went somewhere, man. I don't know where middle went. Middle is dwindling. And most people are jumping ship and going toward the lower class part. It's crazy, man. Anyway, a drought in California, a drought kind of in the New England area. But the Midwest, holy crap, holy crap. This place is getting flooded. Every day, torrential rain. 6-7 inches of rain on a daily basis. Are you kidding me, man? That's enough to drown a turkey. That's a lot of rain on a daily basis, every day. There's flooding all over the place. People's homes are being washed away. All the way from Texas, Dallas, Fort Worth, Amarillo, all those crazy places, up the Texas Panhandle, into Arkansas, Louisiana, Kansas. Man alive! That turns into severe thunderstorms. That's where all the rain comes from, and that can spawn tornadoes, where dozens of people get killed on a weekly basis, and many, many more injured from these incredible feats of weather science. I mean, man, what's going on here? In the winter, New England gets socked. It seems like that whole wet weather precipitation system went to the Midwest. Texas, man. Wow, man. An up-and-coming area is being washed away completely. Texas. Ugh. Hey, what are you all doing here? Want to go get some steak? Hey, where's your gun rack at, man? Let me see your gun rack. What are you doing, young man? What are you doing? What are you doing, young man? You and your long hair and your beard. What are you, hip freak? What? I'll show you a barrel of my gun. That's what I think Texas is like. I'm scared of Texas. I don't look like a Texas person. I look like a New York hippie. I never told you this story because here's a true story.
Okay, get comfortable, everybody. It's time for one of Ron's funny stories.
All right, here's a funny story. This goes back quite a few decades when I was just a young little schmegma. By the way, there's two words. There's smegma, and then there's the Jewish pronunciation. When Jews get crud stuck in their penis, it's schmegma. Just a little bit of a education for you. It's about the most sophisticated thing I do on this show, by the way. Anyway, okay, this was decades ago, like a long time ago, before they invented popcorn or whatever, decided to go to the South. Now, I'm a hippie freak kind of looking guy, and I still am. But when I was younger, my hair was down past my shoulders, which is almost close to what it is now. And it was very, very straight, and I had a big, gigantic mustache and beard and hair, sideburns, and just, I was like a walking piece of hair. But I was very skinny. I weighed about 170 pounds, 6'4" tall. 6'4" tall. That's freaking huge, man. But skinny as a plank, skinny as a rail. My childhood nickname was Bones. Can you guess why? Because I was shaped like a skinny little bone. There was nothing on me. There was no meat. There was no fat. Different story today, but back then I was like a skinny pencil physique with a nice ass, by the way. Don't get me started. I had a nice ass. Just saying. So that's what I look like. I looked like Jesus. I swear I did. And to be honest with you, kind of acted like him too. I was a wonderful person. I was so into peace and love. I was better than Jesus, man. I was better than Jesus. Of course, I couldn't like design a cabinet to save my life. I wasn't great at carpentry, so Jesus had me on that. But other than that, man, I was a walking Jesus. I looked just like him. Except for the sandals. Always hated sandals. They always like cut into the top of my foot. Can't wear sandals. To this day, could never wear sandals. Maybe I'm not Jesus, because you got to have sandals to be Jesus. I know that. Or Jesus, depending on where you live. Anyway, so I get in the car, and I don't remember if I was going by myself or with other people. I seriously can't remember that, because the brain starts going at a certain point in your life. And I drove down to I think it was Virginia or North Carolina, somewhere in that vicinity. Again, it's a blur because I was, you know, I got to be honest with you. I smoked a lot of marijuana at a certain point in my life when I was growing up. And it was one of the greatest mistakes of my life, because I can't remember a good chunk of my young adulthood because I was so high all the time. And in retrospect, it wasn't worth it. It wasn't worth it at all. So kids, I hate to preach to you. Actually, I love to preach to you. It's a lot of fun. But don't drink too much and don't get high a lot, because your brain cells do not make it through. They do not. When your brain cells die, that's it. They pack up, they're gone. There's no pills you can take. There's no, they don't inject new brain cells into your head. You're screwed. So don't overdo that kind of stuff, because it's not good. It's a not good thing. I wish I could remember a lot of my young adulthood, because I think it was pretty fun. Pretty fun, grammatically incorrect, but yet I've connected with my audience. So don't do that crap. You know, I know marijuana is becoming legal. It's like gay marriage. I mean, gay marriage is legal, but doesn't mean we have to be gay to enjoy it. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. I think you do. Actually, I think I connected with that one. So I'm in the car, and I'm going down there, and I'm south of the Mason-Dixon line. And it's amazing. The Mason-Dixon line kind of cuts the country in half from north and south. As soon as you cross that line, if you get out of the car, there's no line on the ground. There is a sign, actually, in certain locations on the way down. But as soon as you cross that line, it is, like, totally different. It's, like, it's amazing. It's, like, and then you cross the line, it's different. So I walked into a bar. And it's not the beginning of a joke. It's what I actually did. It was lunchtime, and I walked into this little luncheonette place, but it was actually a bar, because everything in the South serves alcohol when you get into the backwoods area. And I didn't think I looked real freaky back then, but I guess I did. So I walked into the bar, and here's the line that I remember that will resonate no matter how much pot I did. I will remember this moment. There were guys in plaid jackets, which means either they're hunters or have incredibly bad taste in clothing. I'm going to go for both elements here. But remember, this was decades ago. Bad clothing choices are timeless. And so is hunting, apparently. So I walk in, and these three guys are sitting at the bar wearing plaid jackets. They have crew cuts. Ladies and gentlemen, people that wear crew cuts either look good and are into the crew cut look, but most of them are just out to kill you. And I'm not talking about like closely shaved hair. I'm talking about the cut where it's like, I think they call it a flat top, where it's just totally flat on top. And you don't have much hair, but there's a total flat thing. It's like military haircut or something. They turn around, they stare at me for a good 10 seconds, and I just walk through the door of the place, and for some reason, three guys turn around, they stare at me 10 seconds, and then one of them says, and I'll never forget it, says, "Well, look a here, look who came into the bar, it's Jesus." At that point, two things crossed my mind. One was, thank you for the compliment. What a great religious figure. You guys are cool. The other thought that ran through my mind is that I'm going to die now. These guys are going to whip out their shotguns and put a hole through Jesus because I'm a hippie freak and they don't quote unquote cotton to that. I don't know how cotton became the fabric of our lives, but they didn't cotton to that. The looks on their faces were not smiling, joking. It was like a challenge. So what I did was I sat down at a table. I sat there for about, I'd say, 30 seconds. Thank God no waitress or anybody came over. I got up and I left and I was out of there. And I think I burned so much rubber that you can still smell the rubber burning today. I feared for my life. Thank God these guys didn't follow me, didn't walk up to me, because I wouldn't be doing this radio show right now. I'd be in a casket somewhere with my limbs wrapped around my earlobes. I really feel that's a possibility. And that, ladies and gentlemen, is what actually, that's a true story. It's one of the few true stories I've ever told in my life. Brian Williams told me that story.
That was a really funny story, Ron. But then again, I'm in the third grade.
So am I. Hey, me too. So am I. The best business in the world is probably a business that never loses money ever, 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 ever. And I know one of those businesses very, very well because I'm a victim of it, as you probably are. A business that never loses money always makes money. Foolproof, never changes. That business is auto insurance. Geico, Nationwide, Progressive, all these national auto insurance companies. I don't know the difference between any. I watch their commercials. They're entertaining, but I don't know who is who anymore. I will never buy insurance from a lizard. A 2-inch tall lizard that apparently has a British accent. I will never buy insurance from them. I will never buy insurance from an insurance company whose upfront person is some lady wearing a white polo shirt running around like a goofball. I will never buy insurance from you. I don't understand you people. I don't understand your commercials. They're humorous, they're fun, but They tell me nothing about insurance other than I can save money with you, or you think that I can save money with you. Other than that, I know nothing of you. But here's the deal about auto insurance and home insurance as well, although more so auto insurance. You can't fucking lose. They raise their rates every single year. Well, Ron, that's not true. If I'm a good driver, then the rates go down. Bullshit. Give me a break. They do not. Somebody else's rates are going up a lot more then. But it don't happen, man. Your rates go up every year. Maybe not as much as they would otherwise, but they go up every year. And they just raise their rates, and you go, okay. And if you change to a different place, they raise their rates too. So, auto insurance, you can't lose. Home insurance, you can't lose. I mean, I know it's been a rough winter here. There was Hurricane Sandy a couple of years ago, which devastated parts of the Northeast, New York, New Jersey, that kind of thing. But all they do is raise their rates because they can't lose. You pay for whatever their loss is. If you're in an accident, you have auto insurance, which is why you have auto insurance, in case you're in an accident. That's what it's about. And if you collect from them and it's your fault, you pay a premium. So, in other words, I give you a lot of money every year just in case something happens to me. If it does happen to me, you basically charge me for it anyway. So why am I paying you money? Why don't I just save all that money? And when something happens to me, I'll just pay for it with all the money that I save from you. Because if I do place a claim, my rates go up. If I do get in an auto accident, my rates go up. If I report flooding or a shingle falls off my roof and I have to have the roof redone, I pay for it. My premiums go up. So, I mean, it's like you can't lose. It's like people are sitting around a board table at insurance companies. Yeah, how much did we lose last year? Oh, Bob, we lost about $50 million last year in payouts. All right, raise the rates. Bring it up. Bring it up to, let's make sure we make $70 million. Raise the rates $20 million. Okay, Bob, that's it. All right, fine. Hey, have a nice day. Want to go to lunch? That you can't lose. It, whatever they've lost, they charge you the next year. It's a wonderful business. You can't lose money. Do insurance companies go out of business? No, they just buy each other out. That's all. They don't go out of business because they're bankrupt. Give me a break. Although that lizard insurance company should. And then there's the Aflac with the duck. I have no fucking idea what they even sell. I mean, there's just a duck walking around going Aflac, and I assume it's insurance. I really don't know. I'm not sure. I don't understand it. I don't get it. Television commercials are totally lost on me. But if you want a foolproof business, open up an insurance company. Not an insurance agent. That can suck. But if you're the actual company that bills the customers, you're really in good shape, man. I mean, you have to allow a lot of money to start that. So it's not like I can just say, oh, I'm going to start an insurance company tomorrow. First, I'd have to find a mascot. I think I would do a Norwegian beetle. That's what I would do. A Norwegian tiny bug. That would be my mascot. Ron, what does it have to do with insurance? What does a lizard have to do with insurance? What are you talking about? Why does it have to do with anything? If it makes no sense, it probably works even better. I'm so confused.
Now that he is finally free of the constraints of terrestrial radio and into the anything-goes atmosphere of the podcasting world, we can finally say that Ron Van Dam is one badass motherfucker. What was that? Okay, that's the way it's going to be? Great. Fuck you. You're listening to the fucking Ron Van Dam Show on Metro South Podcasting. Wow. I didn't even say anything that time.
Wow.
Where could ever
this is Aaron McCauley.
color my depressive mood, from gray to the most brilliant blue, shape every tear into a candy sky.
I found a ladybug on the wall of my bathroom yesterday, and I don't think you're supposed to kill ladybugs. You're not supposed to kill anything, really, says God, unless it's lions or bulls in Spain. But otherwise, you're not supposed to. Unless it's a religious war, then go for it. But other than that, you're really not supposed to kill things. So there's this ladybug on the wall, and all of a sudden, I'm treating it like a sacred cat or something. You know?
I don't want to hold up because you're sticky. You're sticky sweet on me. I don't want to hold up because I'm inspired by you.
I don't think you're supposed to hurt ladybugs because you're not supposed to hit a woman. I don't know.
Sticky sweet on me. I don't wanna hold up, 'cause I'm inspired by your offbeat dreams. You make me never forget how it feels to be that fortunate someone. I don't wanna hold up, you're getting me. I don't wanna hold up, you're getting me.
So how many of you raise your hand if you've got allergies? Look at all of you raise your hand. I got them too, man. I don't know where it came from. Don't know where it came from. There's another step in the allergy thing when it turns into asthma. That's the wheezing part. And that's like, ooh, that's scary because that has to do with your respiratory system, or to put it in lay person's terms, has to do with your breathing. And without breathing, you're pretty much fucked. And excuse my language, but you're pretty much fucked. So asthma is a horrible thing. And there are people that are on all kinds of things. Right? But asthma can lead to that. And there's allergies and there's asthma. Now, I didn't understand the difference between the two. But I do know two people that know about it. Dr. Goldstein is going to join us. And Jacqueline actually suffers from asthma as a result of allergies. Let's talk to them, because I love to impart information upon you. And man, all the pollen. Have you been outside recently, man? It looks like it's snowing or raining or something, but it's not, because we're in a drought. It's pollen. It's stuff coming from the trees, like blowing all over the place. What's up with that, man? I have to take a broom and sweep off my deck. Yes, I have a deck. Every day. It's just, it's extreme. I'm joined by Dr. Stanley Goldstein and Jackie Gillespie. Good morning to the both of you.
Good morning.
Well, hey, where have you two been? I've been sneezing and coughing and wheezing for the past, 7 months, maybe. This is supposed to be, last year was supposed to be one of the worst allergy and pollen seasons on record, and then lo and behold, the winter ends in the New England area, and they say, no, 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 this is going to be the worst. And they call it a pollen tsunami, so I'm glad you're here to hold my hand through this thing. Allergies are bad enough, you throw asthma into it, and that's kind of like, you know, it follows. Jackie, I guess you know about this quite a bit.
Yes, I do. Very much.
Yeah. Is this something, you have allergies that that go into asthma?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. How do the two correlate?
Can you repeat that question?
Yeah, how do they correlate? Is the allergies cause the asthma reaction?
Yes, that's my understanding.
Okay. And
let me just pick up on that.
Yes, Dr. Goldstein. Yeah.
Allergies and asthma can definitely go hand in hand. And actually, this is the month of Allergy and Asthma Awareness Month, month of May.
Yeah.
It is a time when there is a lot of allergic asthma going on, and so we're here on behalf of working with Novartis and Genentech to actually educate people, the media, and also patients and healthcare providers on allergic asthma.
Yeah. Asthma is a condition, as I understand it, because I know tons of people that have it, diagnosed with it. It's so common, it's not funny. This is something that it stems out of childhood. Sometimes it becomes worse, sometimes it gets better. But, doctor, isn't that something that we're pretty much prone to when we come into this world?
Not necessarily, but you do find that asthma occurs in actually 25 million Americans in the United States.
Yeah.
And approximately 16 million, which is around 60% of those patients who do have asthma, have allergic asthma.
Yeah.
And that's what you're hearing now at this time of year, many patients having allergic asthma.
Yeah. And how long have you been suffering, Jackie? Was this a childhood thing?
Yes, sir, it was.
Yeah.
My parents took me to the doctor when I was an infant because I was having difficulty breathing. And they called it bronchitis until I was two, and then I was diagnosed with allergic asthma.
Right. And, doctor, treatable? I mean, nobody really has to suffer through it, or, you kind of do have to get used to this?
No, there are treatments, and today we'd like to focus on those patients who have uncontrolled allergic asthma.
Yep, okay.
Because there is a medication out there which can definitely help them, called Xolair, X-O-L-A-I-R. Also known as umlizumab.
And this is new on the market?
It's been around for the last 13 years.
Oh, okay.
But being that it's the Asthma and Allergy Awareness Month, and as you already alluded to, it's been a bad pollen season.
Yeah.
We've seen a lot of patients who do have allergic asthma.
Yes.
So it's important to make them aware of the potential symptoms, the diagnosis, and the treatment of allergic asthma.
Yeah. I'm not an expert in this, but I would say one out of three parent groups have brought their child or young adult to the emergency room in a hospital because of asthma. Maybe not diagnosed asthma, but breathing problems. I mean, I think it's that prevalent.
It is quite common, and patients now, during this allergic time of year, patients are having symptoms of difficulty in breathing, cough, wheezing, chest tightness, and they are needing help with respect to the medications that they're taking.
Jackie and Dr. Goldstein, is this something that should be handled on a daily basis, like cholesterol, like high blood pressure, or is it something that is treated when necessary, when the symptoms kick up?
I want to get back to the point about the persistent asthma. That means asthma is occurring on a daily basis.
All right.
And we know that those patients who have moderate and severe persistent asthma who may be taking their medications, such as inhaled corticosteroids, commonly used medication to treat asthma, and they still yet uncontrolled. And that's one of the messages that we have to get to the patients. Don't understand that there's some other treatment available, such as Zoliq, for those people who have poorly controlled asthma despite taking their inhaled corticosteroids.
Okay. Oh, so this medication is for when you've reached that constant situation.
Right.
Okay.
It's specifically indicated for adults and children over the age of 12 who have what you would characterize as moderate to severe persistent asthma who continues to be uncontrolled despite taking their inhaled corticosteroids, and they have allergic asthma.
Okay. So the difference between allergies and asthma is that this would affect the respiratory system, and that would be asthmatic.
No, there's really there's an association, a major association between allergies and asthma. You have allergic asthma, which is the most common form of asthma, 60% of the population, and then you have non-allergic asthma, which is less common, but the symptoms are the same.
Okay.
Symptoms of cough, wheezing, chest tightness, difficulty in breathing.
All right. But so the non-allergic asthma would be more of a straight respiratory concern?
They're both the same concern. They're both respiratory concerns.
Okay.
The difference is what causes the asthma.
Okay.
And allergic asthma, we're talking about mainly year-round allergens such as snipe, animal dander, cockroach debris. Those are the common allergens that cause year-round allergic asthma.
Okay.
Non-allergic asthma has other things that may cause it, such as cold air, respiratory infection, exercise, irritants in the environment.
Yeah, exercise. That's why I don't exercise. I think I've proved in this interview why I'm not a doctor. It's just important to understand. So, Jackie, how are you doing?
I'm doing very well right now. But in the past, my symptoms have just been totally uncontrolled. I've tried various kinds of medications, with none of them working very well. I am allergic to dust mites, and dust is everywhere.
Yes.
And so I am able to convince my husband that he needs to do the dusting around the house, which is helpful. try to keep my house, extra clean. If you don't have asthma, the best way that I have to explain what it feels like is try breathing through a coffee straw about your daily business, and you will get exhausted and tired very quickly.
Yeah, and sometimes anxious.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And that's the first thing they say when you go to the doctor is relax, and you really can't relax when you have no air.
I know, it's kind of like something that's fairly important to have. Jackie, what part of the country do you live in? Is it environmental? I know dust mites are all over the place, but, I mean, are you in a city or where are you?
Well, I live in the Oklahoma Panhandle, which, oddly enough, is where the dust bowl began.
Yeah.
I have double-paned windows in my home. I have a special filter on my air conditioning system.
Okay, good.
And so,
good.
So that's one way that we deal with it.
Well, good. Well, I'm glad that this medication, this approach is now successful for you, and you sound good. Doctor, where can we go for more information?
Okay, if you have allergic asthma that's uncontrolled with inhaled corticosteroids, you could definitely get more information by talking to your physician, whether it be an allergist or a pulmonologist, and also going to a website called www.zolair.com. Also, you want to make sure, as you have this discussion with your healthcare provider or going to the website, I want you to also be aware of potential adverse effects of Zoliq, and that can include a severe life-threatening allergic reaction called anaphylaxis, and just make sure you make a decision with the healthcare provider and looking at the website and trying to decide whether Zoliq is right for you.
Well, Jacqueline Gillespie, Dr. Stanley Goldstein, thank you so much for your time, for spreading the word so that we know what to do when we encounter these medical situations. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
before Little Caesars created the new bacon-wrapped deep dish pizza topped with pepperoni and bacon and wrapped in over 3.5 feet of bacon, we only had one question. Is this much bacon even legal?
Now, I'm just a small-town pizza lawyer, but I do declare that wrapping these 8 crispy corners of pizza in over 3.5 feet of bacon is perfectly legal.
Great. Get a large bacon-wrapped deep dish pizza hot and ready 4 to 8 and only $12 only at Little Caesars. World's easiest way to pizza.
Pizza, pizza.
Oh, it's all perfectly legal.
Pizza, pizza. Die, die. I can't. I can't. I play that commercial just to remind you about America. How you are free to have all the choices laid before you, but you can make some weird choices. That's totally up to you. However, you must wear a seatbelt. But you can eat this shit. And, you know, whatever. Happy America to you. We place restrictions on ourselves so we can live longer. And then we place no restrictions on ourselves so we can't live longer. It just doesn't make any sense. Wear a seatbelt. That's the law. You must. However, you are free to walk into a Little Caesars and consume 3.5 feet of bacon wrapped around greasy dough with cheese on it. Enjoy yourself. I don't get it. But who am I? Who am I? Who am I in the scheme of things to comment on something like that? I don't care. I have a filter, man. I have a filter. I don't, just because some little Napoleonic complex little Caesar guy tells me to walk into his restaurant and eat stuff that'll clog my veins and arteries without question, that doesn't mean that I have to do it, because I'm free. I'm free to filter and to know what is good and what is bad for me.
Gray skies are gonna clear up, put on a happy face. Brush off the clouds and cheer up, put on a happy face. Take off the gloomy
mask. As you lie in a hospital bed,
it's not your style.
With guys operating on your chest, putting balloons in your arteries, enjoy your pizza.
Stick out that noble,
and don't forget that 3.5 feet of bacon that they're extracting from your veins right now.
Why, look, it all came out in one piece. It's amazing.
Just put on a happy face. Put on a happy face.
Yeah, enjoy. Put on a happy face. You and your... Do you know anybody who's short? I'm a tall person, and I'm not casting aspersions on short people. But when you're not tall, you tend to take on what they call in psychology the Napoleonic complex. Paul Simon had that. These are fairly short people who compensate for their height by becoming overly dynamic. It's like a gay person who constantly uses their hands and becomes flamboyant. It's like you're taking your situation and you're overcompensating here. Chill. And that's the Napoleonic complex. Interestingly enough, apparently, do you know Simon and Garfunkel, Bridge Over Troubled Waters, soundtrack from The Graduate?
Ron, I don't know what you're talking about. I'm only 10 years old.
That's a strange voice for a 10-year-old, though, come to think of it. Paul Simon and Art Garfunkel were gigantic in the music business back in the 60s and 70s. They had just released their hit song, Bridge Over Troubled Water, which catapulted them into the number one song slot for that era. It was huge. It was being played on the radio every 10 seconds. It was almost as frequent as that fucking theme from the Titanic with Celine Dion. Celine Dion's a very talented performer, a great singer, but as soon as you started doing that Titanic song, man, you just, I kind of wanted you off the planet for a long time because it annoyed me. Bridge Over Troubled Waters was a nicer song, but was played continually as well. It was sung by Art Garfunkel, who was supposed to kind of be the backup singer in a way to the greater songwriter and performer Paul Simon. Paul Simon knew this better than anybody. So right after Bridge Over Troubled Water, Paul Simon said to Art Garfunkel, "I'm going my own way. Simon and Garfunkel is finished." And Art Garfunkel never forgave Paul Simon for just walking away from that superstar career that they both could have had. Paul Simon goes on to have a very good musical career. Art Garfunkel becomes a math teacher in Connecticut. So Art was a little pissed. That's a true story, man. That's a true story. It's not a funny story, but it's a true story. And I leave you with that little tidbit of information for no reason other than I'm leaving you with that tidbit of information. I will be back tomorrow with another program. That's not a promise. It's a threat. And I do, at the end of every show, I tell you that I wish you peace. I still remain a hippie in my heart. There's a hippie in my heart, along with 3.5 feet of bacon, that does wish you peace and love. And I'm sorry, but man, I do. Not so much the love part, but the peace part. Yeah, I really do believe that. By the way, if you like bacon and you're a guy, the bacon that you consume in one sitting should never be longer than your penis. That's my rule of thumb.